The title of our study this morning is Why Disability? The Why of Disability. Let us begin with prayer. Lord God, Heavenly Father, we thank you for giving us our health, healthy bodies, good minds. We want your forgiveness for our sins and to put them away. We ask for forgiveness that we have failed you in not serving disabled people and showing our concern. And we pray that you will give us understanding and awareness of disabled people's problems and needs, so that we can love, serve, and have fellowship to the glory of your Son. And in your holy name we pray, amen. I would like to give a story. It happened anytime in the past, and it could happen today. There were Lutheran parents living in North Dakota, and they attended church regularly, and they served the Lord in their church, and they wanted to have a baby. And then it happened. The wife got pregnant, and the young couple became excited, and several months later, she contracted measles, the epidemic of rubella. It was spreading throughout, and the pregnant woman got it. And she became very concerned, and she went to the doctor, and the doctor said, "Oh, don't worry, everything will be all right." And a few days later, she became well. Was still concerned. When the time came for the birth, they went to the hospital. And the baby was born. It was a baby boy. And the nurse was checking out the baby and saw something was wrong. And the nurse became concerned a bit and was wondering how to tell the mother. So after some thought, she went to the mother and asked, "How's my baby?" And the nurse responded very positively. And she said, "You have a beautiful baby." "Can I see my baby?" said the mother. And the nurse said, "Sure." And so she went back and brought in the baby. And the mother examined the baby. "My baby is blind. Why me? Why? My husband and I serve God always. And yet my baby is blind. Why us, God?" So this morning we are going to study this, and we're going to look at the first paragraph here and read it. Would anyone without a paper? There are some in the front here. Thank you. Are there any blind people here? Let us now read the Old Testament, Exodus chapter 4, verse 11 and 12. Like to volunteer to read these two verses?
Then the Lord said to him, "Who has made man's mouth? Who makes him dumb or deaf or seeing or blind? Is it not I, the Lord? Now therefore go, and I will be with your mouth and teach you what you shall speak."
Verses. Thank you for your sharing. That was very beautiful. Any more comments? Okay, let us read then the three other, the Psalm chapter 4, or Psalm 5, verse 4, 2 Corinthians 11, verse 3, and 1 Peter 5, 8, and 9. We'd like volunteers for each of those. First Peter chapter 5, verses 8 and 9.
Be sober, be watchful. Your adversary, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion, seeking someone to devour. Resist him, firm in your faith, knowing that the same experience of suffering is required of your brotherhood throughout the world.
So the question is God solely responsible for all the disabilities on the earth? Any more comments?
Well, I I'm still on 1 Peter, verse 10 is full of hope. And after you have suffered a little while, the God of all grace who has called you to his eternal glory in Christ will himself restore, establish, and strengthen you. I think that, you know, we all have some form of suffering, and it seems hopeful to me that it says that God, you know, will establish us again, will strengthen us, and it's his strength that is in us to get us through these times of suffering, and I find that very hopeful.
Good.
It's difficult to see all of the evil in the world and not believe in the devil. It seems to me, I believe in God, that I must also believe in the devil, a great power. And as a personal being, just as God is a personal being to me, there is no other way that I can account for the evil that happens. And if we deny a devil, then we must blame God for everything.
Any more comments?
How do you reconcile this with the person who believes in an all-powerful and almighty God?
Well, God permits bad things to happen. It's not simply a response, and then he gives us, as Christians, the responsibility to help disabled people to build faith in God, God's Son, Jesus Christ. So let us move on then to the next reading in Jeremiah chapter 15. Who would like to volunteer to read that?
If I have not entreated thee for their good, if I have not pleaded with thee on behalf of the enemy in the time of trouble, in the time of distress, can one break iron from the north and bronze? Your wealth and your treasures I will give as spoil without price for all your sins throughout all your territory. I will make you serve your enemies in a land which you do not know. For in my anger a fire is kindled which shall burn forever. O Lord, thou knowest. Remember me and visit me, and take vengeance for me on my persecutors. In thy forbearance take me not away. Know that for thy sake I bear reproach. Thy words were found, and I ate them, and thy words became to me a joy and the delight of my heart, for I am called by thy name, O Lord God of hosts. I did not sit in the company of merrymakers, nor did I rejoice. I sat alone, because thy hand was upon me, for thou hadst filled me with indignation. Why is my pain unceasing, my wound incurable, refusing to be healed? Wilt thou be to me like a deceitful brook, like waters that fail? Therefore, thus says the Lord, if you return, I will restore you, and you shall stand before me. If you utter what is precious and not what is worthless, you shall be as my mouth. They shall turn to you, but you shall not turn to them. And I will make you to this people a fortified wall of bronze. They will fight against you, but they shall not prevail over you. For I am with you to save you and deliver you, says the Lord. I will deliver you out of the hand of the wicked and redeem you from the grasp of the ruthless.
Thank you. Do you have any questions? What is the prophet Jeremiah's feeling here? And also, he's complaining that so many sinners refuse to listen to him. And now the question is, what is God's response to the prophet?
Precious and not what is worthless, and you shall be my mouth.
God's word is given to us to impress us that God is still in control. When so many things seem to go wrong, like today, God's word is with us. And so now let's go on to John chapter 9, verses 1 through 7. Is there someone who would like to read that for us? Question. Is disability punishment for any specific sin?
According to this, it is something that we have no control over. It sounds to me like it's maybe the disability is given to whoever has it to build their strength.
The bad thing about evil is that it often falls and affects the innocent, not the one who, and we know that from today, the drunken driver in the accident, often it's the other person that's killed or hurt badly. It's often the innocent that suffer, and that doesn't mean they're sinless, but that they were innocent of that specific thing.
Thank you. Anyone else like to volunteer to share your opinion?
I think we all have to read the first couple of chapters of Job, because there Job, or the devil and God, were in dialogue, and God said, "Consider my servant Job," and then God let the devil perform all kinds of things to Job. God did not do them, but the devil did.
Yes, good.
For that one line came, that was for the glory of God, because Jesus made him well, healed him. But for many, many other people who are blind, that Jesus had not healed, made him well. Well, what would make it for the glory of God?
Making people cry. People think looking at them, see their tracks, there is
something like that.
Wait, hold on to your question, and let's let some other people ask some more. Any others?
I think too often that people who are suffering don't see how other people are watching them, and that they are a witness in their suffering, whether they know it or not. These people are greatly influenced the people around them.
Good. I would like to add, really it's still it's strange it happened. It happened. Some deaf people accept their deafness as if it's normal. They think it's not a disability. And yet when one gets Alzheimer's disease, other deaf will be talking and they'll say, "Oh, God's punishing them." So what do you think about that?
Well, when I was about 3 years old, an old woman in Missouri, we were living at that time.
Missouri.
But when she saw me being deaf, taking care
of when she saw me that I was deaf, taking care of my children on the farm, going around visiting people, working for the church full time. She thought that I, a deaf person, was a good example for her to follow. And that she felt so much better because she had me. And now you give an answer to your own question before. Probably, perhaps, yeah. Anyone like to volunteer to give another comment?
We have a friend who is a theologian, and she is crippled by diabetes. cannot see very well and is having trouble walking. And yet, her joy in living constantly, even when in pain, is just more inspiring to us than any of our friends who are whole and not disabled.
Maybe that's the meaning of that verse when it said that the works of God may be manifest in him. Maybe the fact that so many of us are blessed with sight should be seen as a miracle.
Many of these disabilities will eventually happen to everyone. And we all get old, and we all end up with deficiencies of one kind or another. I often think that the Lord waited in this case until we were ready to handle it, perhaps.
The Lord wants us to be witnesses. Not always to give his word to other people, but also to give service of his love. Okay, to the disabled people also, and for disabled people to witness. And through this showing, we show the positive blessings that faith in Christ Jesus will give us, not to give pity, to feel pity, to look at a disabled person and wonder, why are they happy? But instead, to learn of Christ in that person and to give glory to God. We all are normal and disabled, and we need to work together to give the glory to God in his name, to God's name. And now we need to put aside our considerations of punishment for the disability. Okay, let's go on. And we're going to read several verses from the scripture that are listed here. Anyone like to volunteer to read? Perhaps several of you could take turns. For 1 John 3, verse 8.
I have that. He who commits sin is of the devil, for the devil has sinned from the beginning. The reason the Son of God appeared was to destroy the works of the devil.
Job 2, verse 7.
So Satan went forth from the presence of the Lord and afflicted Job with loathsome sores and the sole of his foot to the crown of his head.
Second Corinthians chapter 12, verse 7 to 10.
And to keep me from being too elated by the abundance of revelation, a thorn was given me in the flesh, a messenger of Satan, to harass me, to keep me from being too elated. These three times I besought the Lord about this, that it should leave me, but he said to me, my grace is sufficient for you, my power is made perfect in weakness. I will all the more gladly boast of my weakness, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. For the sake of Christ, then, I am content with weakness, insults, hardships, persecutions, and calamities, for when I am weak, then I am strong.
Mark chapter 9, verses 25 to 29.
When saw that a crowd was running to the scene, he rebuked the evil spirit. You deaf and dumb spirit, he said, I command you, come out of him and never enter him again. The spirit shrieked, convulsed him violently, and came out. The boy looked so much like a corpse that many said, he's dead. But Jesus took him by the hand and lifted him to his feet, and he stood up. After Jesus had gone indoors, his disciples asked him privately, why couldn't we drive it out? And he replied, this kind can come out only by prayer.
In Hebrews chapter 2, verse 14.
But when God told the devil that he could do what he wanted,
then the devil got busy.
Then the devil got
and
busy.
And made Job very sick.
But
now, where people here in the world don't have God's protection because they don't obey his rules. Then the devil can make
people disability and get hurt.
But if God protects them,
but if God protects them and is around them, the devil can't touch them.
Any other people want to volunteer their comments?
I think what she says is really important for those of us who do reap the consequences of our own actions. For instance, we smoke and we eat badly all of our lives, and we don't exercise. We do all the things that we know that we shouldn't do for this body, and we end up with a heart attack. And then we want to blame God. We do have to take some responsibility because we have not obeyed God in taking care of ourselves, and so we are not completely faultless in this matter. But there are those who are completely innocent.
That is true. Thank you for sharing that. Any other people want to share?
30% of our babies are being born addicted to drugs at this time. Mm-hmm.
As a result of parents having drug addiction or drug use, yes. And we can't blame God for that. Any others people want to share?
Everything on the devil, because that leaves us completely without any action to protect our children. Or God has made it very plain that we are accountable as much as we know.
I think we have to take responsibility too. But Wilson used to blame everything on the devil. The devil made me do it.
Yeah. You know, I didn't mean it that way when I was saying that. I'm responsible for my own actions, for whatever I do.
matter what the devil brings to us in the world, we ourselves are responding, and it's because of the Lord Jesus Christ that we are able to celebrate through His and resurrection. We are happy to know that through Jesus, that His work, that God has control, and that we get to go to God in prayer. Anyone else want to comment? Share something?
It's very difficult to talk to parents and people that are grieving for a relative or someone, or a baby or someone who is suffering, when they're non-Christian. And as a nurse, you see this all the time and you deal with it all the time, but I find it very difficult to know how to approach that kind of a situation.
In our study last evening on prayer, prayer and actions went together, never separately.
That's very true.
Yes.
Oh, yes.
Yes.
That's right. Any other comments?
I think in a situation like that, when you don't know how to approach someone who's not Christian, that all you can do is pray and ask that God guide you to do what is best, and maybe you don't feel that you've done the right thing at the time, but we just have to trust that, you know, God has had us do the right thing, and that's all we can do.
Just plant a seed of some kind and let it go.
Disabled people can only have faith in God.
And
ask Him for His strength.
And ask Him for His
bear their troubles. Because He says that
God never puts on anybody more than that person can stand.
We have His promise. That His grace, and that's enough for us. Yeah. Any more? Sherry?
I have to ask Him a question. As a disabled person from birth, how do you regard the aborting for measles?
That's a hard question. My opinion is that abortion is a bad reason. Yeah, it's a... God permits parents to have measles, and then perhaps God has a good reason, not only for the parents to have that responsibility, but the people around them, the community. If we had no disability, Christians wouldn't be able to learn how to accept responsibility, would they? Any more comments? Okay. Now we come to time to consideration about the normal. Excuse me, there was a bug flying on me. Consideration about a normal. Where are we? Okay. Normal and. No, let me. What about normal and the man
Nature.
And nature. Like innocent people, like Christians, who have to suffer. So we're going to read Luke chapter 13, verses 1 through 5. Anyone like to volunteer to read that?
There were some present at that very time who told him of the Galileans whose blood Pilate had mingled with their sacrifices. And he answered them, "Do you think that these Galileans were worse sinners than all the other Galileans because they suffered thus? I tell you, no. But unless you repent, will all likewise perish. Or those 18 upon whom the power in Siloam fell and killed them, do you think that they were worse offenders than all the others who dwelt in Jerusalem? I tell you, no. But unless you repent, you will all likewise perish."
What do you think? I have a mosquito bite. Problems all over my body. It itches.
I guess the important thing is that we all stand in a state of grace, whether we're disabled or normal, or seemingly normal for the present and the moment anyway. And I think that one of the things it says to us is that we need God's grace and that we can't tarry in seeking His grace and forgiveness.
More?
Not the disaster necessarily that we are involved in, but the state of our own selves that is important. And so it's sort of, to me, like the rain falls on the just and the unjust. We aren't spared certain things in this corporate world, but we are supposed to tend to our own souls and accept God's grace.
I think, too, that for us without disabilities that are visible, this, the existence of those who have them is an opportunity that the Lord is providing that we can either ignore or care for as Christians and see that they have the means of grace, etc. They are put here for us too. They are put here. We have a purpose in their being here.
I guess the thing that distresses me most, and I work with parents of disabled children, is that as a society, whether it's the Christian community or the secular community, we've responded so badly to the needs of the disabled and have provided such limited services that are needed, and that I think that we have failed to respond to that need as a whole. Every state that I'm aware of is desperately in need of additional funding for adequate services that provide quality life. And we just haven't responded as a society.
Mm-hmm.
when the lightning flashes, we are urged to get out of the hot tub in order not to flirt with God's grace. But really the only death that we experience is the death that we have in baptism.
Now there are verses, these verses tell us clearly that we have no business judging other people, regardless of whether it's positive or negative. We thank the Lord God for the forgiveness of all, for the forgiveness of our sins and failures, of ourselves, of others, so that we may help others in their disability, and also to be witnesses to people. And we ask God for forgiveness and honest repentance, and then we can, through His Holy Spirit, serve Him and each other. Not only we normal Christians, but also the disabled Christians too.
Can I ask you a question? In the, I think it was Leviticus, where the laws were given, where God forbade anyone who was with blemish to enter the temple, and the Jews basically began to look at anyone with a blemish then as this God had looked unfavorably on them, or they were being punished or something. And I know a lot of that has carried over. When Jesus taught that you should care for these people, that was a really revolutionary thing in that time. But why did God institute that? Why did He say that no one with blemish should enter the temple? I don't understand that.
That's a question. Easy to say, ask God, but nevertheless. Anyway, maybe God wants to show that no people who are sinners can confront God, can come face to face with God. At the same time, He's saying in Leviticus or in other books to Moses, do not put a block in front of the blind. Do not curse the deaf.
That's true.
Any other questions or comments that you might have to share? Okay. Now let's move on to the answers of the question, is God's grace enough? Is it sufficient? Would someone like to volunteer to do the reading from Genesis? It's chapter 32, verse 23 to 29.
He took them out and sent them across the stream, and likewise everything that he had. And Jacob was left alone. And a man wrestled with him until the breaking of day. When the man saw that he did not prevail against Jacob, he touched the hollow of his thigh, and Jacob's thigh was put out of joint as he wrestled with him. Then he said, "Let me go, for the day is breaking." But Jacob said, "I will not let you go unless you bless me." And he said to him, "What is your name?" And he said, "Jacob." Then he said, "Your name shall no more be called Jacob, but Israel. For you have striven with God and with men and have prevailed." Then Jacob asked him, "Tell me, I pray, your name." But he said, "Why is it that you ask my name?" And there he blessed him.
Okay, the next reading is Matthew 10, verse 29 and 31, 331. Do we have a volunteer?
Are not two sparrows sold for a penny? And not one of them will fall to the ground without your Father's will. But even the hairs of your head are all numbered. Fear not, therefore. You are of more value than many sparrows.
Next is 2 Corinthians chapter 12. And then we'll conclude, because time is getting short, we'll conclude with the Hebrews. So we'll skip 2 Corinthians and start with Hebrews 12, verse 5 through 12. Someone would like to volunteer to read that one.
And have you forgotten the exhortation which addresses you as sons? My son, do not regard lightly the discipline of the Lord, nor lose courage when you are punished by him. For the Lord disciplines him whom he loves, and chastises every son whom he receives. It is for discipline that you have to endure. God is treating you as sons. For what son is there whom his father does not discipline? If you are left without discipline, in which all have participated, then you are illegitimate children and not sons. Besides this, we have had earthly fathers to discipline us, and we respected them. Shall we not much more be subject to the Father of spirits and live? For they disciplined us for a short time at their pleasure, but he disciplines us for our good, that we may share his holiness. For the moment, all discipline seems painful rather than pleasant. Later, it yields the peaceful fruit of righteousness to those who have been trained by it. Therefore, lift your drooping hands and strengthen your weak knees.
Those verses are what we all need to remember and know. So, Romans now 5, verses 1 through 5. I'll volunteer to read that.
Therefore, since we are justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Through him we have obtained access to this grace in which we stand, and we rejoice in our hope of sharing the glory of God. More than that, we rejoice in our sufferings, knowing that sufferings produce endurance, and endurance produces character, and character produces hope. And hope does not disappoint us, because God's love has been poured into our hearts through the Holy Spirit, which has been given to us.
And the next readings would be Romans chapter 8, verse 14 through 17.
For all who are led by the Spirit of God are sons of God. For you did not receive the spirit of slavery to fall back into fear, but you have received the spirit of sonship. When we cry, Abba, Father, it is the Spirit himself bearing witness with our spirit that we are children of God. And if children, then heirs, heirs of God and fellow heirs with Christ, provided we suffer with him in order that we may also be glorified with him.
And Romans chapter 8, verse 26 through 30.
Likewise, the Spirit helps us in our weakness, for we do not know how to pray as we ought. But the Spirit himself intercedes for us with sighs too deep for words. And he who searches the hearts of men knows what is the mind of the Spirit, because the Spirit intercedes for the saints according to the will of God. We know that in everything God works for good, and those who love him who are called according to his purpose. For those whom he foreknew, he also predestined to be conformed to the image of his Son, in order that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. And those whom he predestined, he also called. And those whom he called, he also justified. And those whom he justified, he also glorified.
And finally, Romans chapter 8, verse 31 to 39.
What then shall we say to this? If God is for us, who is against us? He who did not spare his own Son, but gave him up for us all, will he not also give us all things with him? Who shall bring any charge against God's elect? It is God who justifies. Who is to condemn? Is it Christ Jesus who died? Yes, who was raised from the dead, who is at the right hand of God, who indeed intercedes for us? Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation or distress, or persecution or famine, or nakedness or peril or sword? As it is written, for thy sake we are being killed all the day long. We are regarded as sheep to be slaughtered. No, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. For I am sure that neither death nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor things present, nor things to come, nor powers, nor height, nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus our Lord.
Now it's time for your opinions again to let us summate. So, while God allows disabilities to happen, and while God allows the Satan to afflict us, God's work is hard. God, through Christ Jesus, has already reconciled us through his Spirit and helps us to serve each other and him. What for? So that we will all be perfect in heaven with him. No disabilities in heaven, for sure. So praise God.